This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of Outspoken. Today, it's just Amy and Sophie on the show, but we're so excited to be joined by journalist and host of the So Dramatic podcast, Megan Pistetto. Megan's podcast soared to number one in the Australian podcast charts, and she's quickly becoming Australia's go-to journo for reality TV goss. On today's episode, we delve into all the drama that's unfolded on the So Dramatic podcast, discuss what it takes to work in the media, and get Megan's take on some of the biggest influencer news of the week. So thanks for joining us. And firstly, we wanted to touch on the fact just how small the Australian media is. So you and I actually, we've never met, but we used to work at the Australian Radio Network together, but in different offices. So you were at Kyle and Jackie O. I was at Jody and Soda. No one probably knows who Jody and Soda are, but they're the Adelaide Kyle and Jackie O. What was it like working for Australia's biggest radio show?
So funny. I know when we used to pop up on the emails, like I didn't even put two and two together. It was so wild. I loved it there. I actually loved it. The only bad thing was obviously the 5 a.m. start. But aside from that, it was insane. It's so, like you would know working in live radio, it's such a fast moving beast. Every day it's like go, go, go. There's no time to even breathe. It's wild. But it was so exciting because each day, you're meeting all of these massive stars that would come into the office, even just working alongside Kyle and Jackie O was pretty cool. I loved it. It was such a good team there as well. Everyone was super like on the same page and super fun. It was a very wild workplace. Every day you didn't know what you were going to expect. There was Kyle throwing cakes and it was fun.
That's so cool. I mean, aside from Kyle and Jackie O, you also have freelance for some huge publications, Marie Claire, New Idea, Women's Day, The Daily Mail, just to name a few. Can you explain to people, what is the lifestyle of a freelance writer?
So I haven't always done freelance. I've done other things before then where I was working full-time at a number of different organizations. I prefer freelance just for the flexibility with the hours and everything. I'm just not a 9-to-5 person. I just get so burnt out and I would rather have the flexibility. The lifestyle, it's good, but it's also, I feel like you do end up working more because you kind of can't switch off when you work for yourself and you've got to be across everything all the time and you're constantly pitching things. So it is more flexible, but I wouldn't say it's like working less or easier.
Yeah, I feel like we can definitely relate to that. We don't do freelance work at the moment. We've got our own business and I feel like people have a connotation that if you're working for yourself, you're not necessarily putting in that 9-to-5 hours, but you're actually, the truth is you're putting in more, if anything.
Well, people think I'm like at the beach every day or like at the gym and it's like, I haven't been to the beach in like 4 years, seriously, and I live down the road from it. So it's definitely not the lifestyle of like leisure, but I do like the flexibility. I do like working my own hours and being able to kind of dictate when I work and how I work. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, definitely. And so many magazines, I suppose these days and in the past, are guilty of using phrases like a source told us. And sometimes that source is made up. How often
does this happen?
Like, yeah, is that actually true? Because you watch movies and it's like so blown out. You know, it's like, oh, you know, Jennifer Aniston's pregnant again. And she would have had like 12 kids by now.
I think my favorite one was that Kate Middleton was having triplets or twins. It's like, oh my God, that's so ridiculous.
She's having them like every 6 months. It's like, where are these children going? My favorite is when they put Chris Brown with a new female celebrity every couple of months or every couple of weeks even. It's like Kate Ritchie 1 minute, then it's Jackie O, and yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I actually, having worked in magazines, I was surprised. I went in there thinking, okay, all of this is just completely made up. It's actually not. It's probably a majority of it is actually true. I don't know what percentage, but when I say true, I mean, how do I explain this?
So it's from a good source, but you probably can't
made up. It's from a source. So then it's kind of like some sources are more reliable than others. Someone might have heard something direct from that person and then told us, or it might have gone through a few hands, a few ears, like Chinese whispers before it's gotten to us. And then sometimes maybe the truth element has been watered down in that sense, and you can't ever really know when you get information from a source. You do have some sources that you go to all the time that you can, after a period of time, be like, okay, they're legit, they're very reliable, all this stuff has come true, it's always been, you know, backed up and stuff like that. But if you get like a news source that comes to you with this big story and it's you know you want to run it, it's sometimes you don't know how accurate it is. You can do your due diligence, I guess, and do the checks and everything to make sure it checks out, but there will be times, I guess, when maybe something has been watered down or it's not completely true or there's an element of truth to it. Yeah, I don't know. Does that kind of explain?
Well, I mean, magazines, they're entertainment, aren't they, as well, though? You know what you're getting when you're reading some of those gossip magazines.
But it's even like mainstream news. Like Amy and I worked at Seven, and some of the headlines that would come out, you know, the headline is just trying to capture the audience there. It's not necessarily the full story.
Yeah, and I think people think people are just sitting around at these outlets and making up stuff. It's not like that at all. People come to us with stories. You find out things through different types of avenues, and you do take that one element of whatever the most, I guess, especially in entertainment, the most sensationalized part of that story is, or the most exciting part, and you kind of focus on that. So I think that's as well where things can kind of get taken out of context and made to look like, oh, how believable is this, because you kind of not exaggerate, but you want to really focus on that exciting element because you want people to read the story. If you focus on the most boring part of the story, no one's going to even bother listening to the or reading the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, talking about interesting, you've launched the So Dramatic podcast and we are obsessed with it. I'd love to hear how it all came about.
Do you know what? It's so funny. It was a total accident. Like, I was freelancing, and then with COVID and everything that happened, a lot of the outlets cut their budgets, or they completely scrapped freelancers because they couldn't really even afford to keep their main staff on. There was a lot of places shutting down or making people redundant. So they definitely didn't have the budget for freelance that they had before that. So I essentially had all of these stories that I was sitting on, still had these stories, and I was like, it's such a waste to not do anything with them, and I'm still going to have stuff coming to me, and it's like I didn't want to put it to waste, basically. So I was like, maybe I'll do a podcast, and I thought it's such a good growing medium that I think is going to really even grow even more in the next few years. So I thought maybe I'll just give it a shot, see how it goes. Hopefully I'll get like a couple of listeners next minute.
Yeah.
Blown up overnight. It's a bit crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, was that daunting for you though, putting it out under your own name? Because obviously you had your byline for different stories, but you had that security of it being under, you know, like
a different organization.
Yeah, like the Daily Mail or New Idea or whatever. But it was just you. Was that quite a daunting feeling?
Yeah, and it is easy when you are hiding behind an outlet. Even if your name's on the byline, you've still got that protection of it's, you know, news.com.au or it's Daily Mail. You're under that umbrella, but when it's yourself putting it out there, you really are putting yourself up for even more scrutiny. They don't have anyone else to attack. They'll come straight to you. And I think as well with the podcast, because it is so, I've kind of made it such a personable environment where I do interact quite a lot with the listeners and the audience, that people do feel like they can just inbox me and attack me, or inbox me and say something really nice as well. So, which I love. I love that it's so personal and it's taking out that level of, you know what I mean? It's like really approachable.
Yeah.
So that's good. It's good and bad as well, because I love interacting with the listeners directly, but I also think that people just come to you and attack you, and it's like, why are you doing this story? You're attacking this person. And it's like Daily Mail, Austrian have all run the same story. Are you also attacking that outlet? Like,
yeah.
So that's the downside of it being personal and stuff. People do feel like they can just come to you and completely attack you. They feel like they know you. So it's good, it's good and it's bad, I guess.
Well, talking about people attacking you, I suppose you've also had some sort of jaded Bachelor contestants come out because, for example, you spilt massive tea about the fact that Matt was allegedly cheating on Renee during your Bachelor in Paradise reunion with Renee and Kiki episode. And then he obviously came out and was like slamming you on his Instagram. How was it dealing with that backlash from those reality contestants that obviously have a big following?
I have a really thick skin, so not much. It takes a lot to upset me and phase me. I've kind of been dealing with it for since I started my career. Well, I started at Daily Mail. I started before Daily Mail, but I started doing entertainment at Daily Mail, and I kind of copped it really bad there. Fans would be, because you were writing about really big fans, so they would have these massive fan armies that would come for you. So I did develop a thick skin working there. So it does take a lot to offend me, but in that instance, it was a bit different because Renee kind of backtracked on what she'd said on the podcast and defended him publicly. And that was because he basically went to her and she felt bad about the fact that she'd done the interview. And I think there was a few things going on there with him, and she felt bad and I guess wanted to just kind of help him.
Mm.
And she felt a bit guilty about maybe speaking honestly about him. So then it kind of just all snowballed because the girl that then had come out in defense of Renee then kind of looked like a liar. And then I kind of stepped in to be like, no, this is what happened. She wasn't lying. It's the truth. So then that kind of snowballed and he then was attacking me. And I still stand by everything that was said on that podcast and everything that I published. I know is 100% the truth. The only reason I kind of pulled the plug on that one and I said I'm tapping out was because I had two podcast episodes to plan that week. I had my own personal issues going on. It was, I think, week two of the podcast. So I was still, it all just happened so fast. And I said, I literally do not have any more time to invest in this. Everything has been said that needed to be said. I'd presented all the sides.
You had the receipts?
Yeah, I had the receipts and I didn't post a lot of the receipts. So then I think when I posted some of them, people wanted more. And then I had every single party involved in that story. And I think there was about 5 or 6 people in the end sending me literally hundreds and hundreds of screenshots each. And I was just so overwhelmed that I was like, I do not have the time or the manpower to go through each and every one of these and do a full-blown investigation onto this story. Like, I've presented the facts. I have 2 podcast episodes to plan this week. That's my first priority as well. And it wasn't that I was just like, you know, tapping out and not presenting sides. It was more the fact of like, I had presented everything. And these people as well, like, they've got their own platforms where they can also speak out about this. I can't, like, I'm a one-woman show. I can't physically do it all, you know what I mean?
And it's getting quite petty, isn't it, when it's, like, going through different messages. Mm. And
that was the other thing. It was getting really nasty and really petty, and people were getting, you know, genuinely upset. And I could even tell that Matt was genuinely upset. And I feel like the truth had come out. The girls had said their piece. There was nothing more that needed to be said. It was kind of going a bit, it was getting too much. So I just kind of said, let's just agree to disagree. You've said your piece. The girls have said their piece. And yeah, I think sometimes you've got to, it is like when the saga is continuing and there is new evidence coming, but that was just getting really personal and really nasty. And it was creating a really toxic environment on my page as well. And I never want to be responsible for that.
Mm, definitely. And now you've spoken about the fact that you were actually friends with some of the contestants, and I love the fact that you seem to know everyone in the Bachelor franchise. Which contestants are you actually friends with before they were on the show? Oh, not at all. I know we've spoken about this in, for people who don't know, we've spoken a little bit in our DMs with each other about, you know, you were joking that you come across as a stalker, and you don't.
I don't think you do.
I just think you're like a friend. I think it's cool.
Oh my God, I was listening to your podcast when, I forget who it was now, it was Renee, and she said, oh, she just slid into my DMs, and then I think Mary said the same, and I'm like, oh my God, they're making me sound like a big stalker.
You're just a journalist, you're not a stalker. Do you know what, do you know how many random people's, like, Facebook Messenger I slid into when I was working at 7? Craziness. And like, you'd feel like such a weirdo.
It's just me.
Yeah. Well, so which contestants were you actually friends with before they were on the show?
Of this season?
Oh, like all those in general. Because I remember you saying something about that.
There's a few.
Because you were saying something about, that you talked Kieran and Renee to being on, Paradise. Mm. I was like, oh my God. So did you know them before or through the show? Or
I knew them. It's hard to explain. I've got a lot of friends around the country, which is really handy because I went to Bathurst University, where a lot of people from all different places around the country went. So I've got a lot of friends in different places because of that. I guess, I don't know. I've also got a lot of friends that have moved away. I don't know. I guess I'm just like a social person that kind of has a lot of connections and networking. I don't know, over the years I've built that up, but it's funny because a lot of the contestants I do know personally. So Renee and Kieran I know through a mutual friend in Darwin. So one of my best friends is their best friend. Oh, wow. But you know, I just gave them some advice before the show, and then, you know, once it was all happening, we just kind of kept in touch. They didn't do anything to break their contracts or anything like that, but it's more just like, I feel people in those situations, if they have someone to talk to that kind of knows what's going on and can give them some advice, it's beneficial for them.
Who else? Jackson, I've known, we're actually family friends. I've known him for a few years. Our parents know each other.
You were at the infamous party, weren't you? Jackson's party.
Yes. Remember that drama? Oh my God. Jackson's party.
What actually happened at the party?
What didn't happen? I mean, it was pretty loose. What do you want to know?
Well, so who was there? What can you explain for people who haven't heard? What was the drama that went down? And do you think that people were aware of who you were, and that basically, like, were you just sitting in the corner with like a notepad just writing down everything?
Oh my
happening?
God, no. When I go to parties like that, I'm not working. Because even the thing about Alicia, so she hooked up with Scott that night, and I didn't know. I did not know, have any idea about it until like a week before I did the story on the podcast. And the person that told me wasn't at Jackson's party. And they were like, how come you haven't done this on the podcast? And I was like, oh, what? What? Tea? And then they were like, weren't you at Jackson's? And I was like, yeah, I didn't see that happen. So, I mean, maybe I wasn't doing my job properly. But I feel like when you're in that situation, because I am friends with Jackson genuinely in real life, it's like, I don't know, it's a bit dog to go there and start taking notes on all him and all his mates. Like, I'm not like that. I respect the boundaries of this is work and this isn't, and I think that's why people trust me enough to keep coming to me, because they know that I'm not just going to see a story and do it straight away. I'll do the story, but I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus in terms of, like, if we're all hanging out at someone's house and someone tells me something in private, I'm not going to go and blurt that out. You know, there's, you've got to have that type of trust between people. People won't tell you stuff if you're going to blurt everything out and do it like that. You've got to kind of do it in a way where it's, I mean, if you hear something and it's someone's told you, it's fine. But if someone's like, please don't say this, I would never do that, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah, I do, when I go to parties like that, I do switch off and I'm not working, which I think people might find hard to believe because it's a good opportunity missed.
Do you think you'll be invited to any more batchy parties after the podcast?
I hope so. I mean, like, I'm still friends with the people that I did stories on the podcast about. I think, like, even Kieran, I'm still friends with Kieran. I think people find that hard to believe, because I did kind of go hard on Kieran. He copped it quite a lot on the podcast, our number one super spreader. But I think he kind of knows that I've got a job to do. He's on TV. I can't not report about one of the main characters on the show, and especially when he's doing things on the show that I didn't agree with, that the public didn't agree with. I can't ignore that. You know what I mean? Like, it's happening. We're seeing it. So I do, when it comes to stuff like that, I do have a job to do. And I think that's quite mature of him, the fact that he respects that and he understands that, and he's still okay with me, and we've still got that friendship. So, yeah, I felt like that was very mature of him to take that stance. I was actually a bit nervous. I'm like, do you hate me? And he was like, no, not at all. I get it. But, and I was fair. I wasn't, you know, making up anything about him. Everything that I said was the truth. It had happened. So he would also have to understand that if you're on TV and you do something, that it's going to kind of come out and you've got to be accountable for your actions.
Yeah, that is actually really mature of him. But also, if you're happy to take the good edit like he got on Angie's series, then you've got to know that you've got to be happy taking the bad edit too, and people are going to be objective in the way they view you anyway. Mm. So you're keeping him relevant, so.
But then other people, I mean, like Tim, I'm blocked still by him.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's not a huge loss to me. We weren't friends before.
Yeah.
Jamie, oh my God, did you see me and Jamie are friends again?
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
So Jamie copped it quite a lot on the podcast as well. And even he's come around. He's unblocked me. We bonded over, I think it was, did you see that Reese Chilton saga that was
Yes,
happening?
Yes.
Jamie did a really funny video and I was like, unblock me, I want to be friends again. And we just had a laugh about it. So yeah, it is funny. I don't think it is hard when there's a story and you do focus on the one person, you follow the story and you continue the story, and you
are chasing it up every day. And it kind of, it might come across to some people that it's, you're targeting them or something like that, but it's really not. You're just following the story as it unfolds. So yeah, I think people need to keep that in mind as well.
Do you know what? If this was a movie, you and Jamie would end up together, because you've started off, you've hated each other. Now you guys are back to your friendly again. Is there any contestant, I'm going to just throw this out there, that was on Bachelor in Paradise that you went, oh yeah, I would date him? Like, who would, if you had to pick one of the contestants, who would you pick?
It's funny you say that. Someone commented on my page the other day being like, if Megan and Jamie can be friends 2020 in 2020, or it's the best thing to come out of 2020. It's giving me hope for 2020. And I was like, we could even share lawyers.
Yeah.
Couples deal. Paradise. I don't know. I don't find any of them. I wouldn't date. I'm not into reality stars. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't really date a reality star. I've never been attracted to a reality star. I think because I'm just so focused on getting the story and doing the work that I wouldn't want that to get in the way of anything.
Yeah.
Who do I think's good looking?
Yeah, who would be more your style? You're more of a Kieran tattooed kind of guy, or are you more of a conventional? I'm trying to think who was actually like,
it was an interesting mix this year of guys.
Yeah.
I probably would lean more towards Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
He's my kind of like more clean cut, I suppose.
Glenn's lovely, but a bit boring. Me. I need a bit of like, I don't know. It's so weird. I don't really have a type in terms of my own dating life. Like, if you lined up all of my exes on a police line, you would die. They're completely different looks, completely different personalities. So I don't know. I don't even have a type from the season. I can't even think who was on there now.
I know it's hard. I actually can't think of someone that I would have gone for either, other than Glenn. Yeah, but as you said, Glenn was a bit boring, but he just seemed a lot nicer than everyone else and a bit more genuine.
I mean, Carlin's lovely. He's hot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, personality-wise, I don't think we... Yeah, it takes quite a special personality to get along with me.
I'm guessing Lockie... put up with me. I'm guessing Lockie would be a no.
No. He's too sleazy. I'm dating a super spreader. I don't want COVID.
Now, we've obviously touched on the Bachelor contestants that you did know, and we have discussed a little bit about sliding into people's DMs. When you do slide into a contestant, like a reality contestant's DM, what is your opening line? Like, do you have a go-to line?
You know, it's so funny. I used to do the standard, hey, I work here, and I if you need any help, I would love to help you. You know, the standard, like, professional one, here's my number. Now I don't know if I'm just over the fact of like, I just can't be bothered anymore. I just like, if you want to work with me, work with me. If not, like, don't worry about it. I just write, like, I think I wrote to someone the other day, hey, want to make some headlines? And then I did like I did like the devil emoji. So I just have fun with it now. I'm like, I feel like people know what I'm about. It's easy for me now because a lot of people just come to me. I don't have to do the whole stalking vibe that much anymore, which is good.
Do you know what? I had to laugh because I don't want to give out your phone number, but you do have 666 phone number. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God. I've never thought of that. That's so true. 666, the devil's number. The devil works harder. I work harder.
Exactly. I was going to say, for any budding journos out there, what are your tips on building a relationship with your sources?
I would say the one thing is never burn your contacts. Keep them close to you. Keep their trust. Like, their trust is everything. Never burn a contact for a story unless it's absolutely necessary. It's absolutely in the public's interest to know that information, or they've done something completely fucked up that you need to kind of get the story out. But yeah, privacy is everything. I think that's as well why people think a lot of these stories are made up, because we never reveal who the sources are and we just say a source, an on-set source. And that's because you can't throw these people under the bus. You can't reveal who they are. Even when you cop backlash and people think the story's fake, you can't actually be like, oh, well, this person told me it's real. You've kind of just got to cop it on the chin. And another tip I would give is, I think, which has worked really well for me, which I guess a lot of my former workplaces probably didn't really like that I did this, but I try to really make genuine relationships with my contacts, and I kind of work with people that I like or that I believe in or that I get along with. I don't kind of just use them for one story and it's like, okay, see you later now, thanks for that. I really kind of build like a genuine relationship with them and I really want to help them back and give them advice. And I guess that's how people have come to build that trust with me, because I am really genuine when it comes to things like that. And then in future, when they've got another story, you will be the first person they come to because they're like, okay, she was really nice. She actually helped me. She cared about me. She didn't throw me under the bus. I'm going to go to her. I'm going to tell her. And that's what has happened a lot with me. They've come back with stories. So it makes your job easier in the long run because they just come to you. They just end up coming to you first. And then they tell their friends. It's like a referral, a word of mouth referral. They tell all their friends because all these people like mix in the same circles of the same type of people that go on reality shows. So then they tell their friends and then every season you've kind of got someone that you can work with, or yeah, it's good.
Do you know what? I feel like you'd have the best skills at being a producer on a reality show, because I feel like they're the sort of the skills that you need to actually get people to talk on camera as well, like the, you know, being your best friend and everything. Would you ever consider being a reality TV producer?
Probably not, but I mean, they should probably put me on their payroll. I feel like,
yeah, I reckon.
I have thought about it, but I'd have to start at the bottom and I'm just not about that life anymore. And the hours are crazy, but I know what you mean in terms of getting people to open up and getting them to trust you and knowing what's a good story and what's a good. I would love the element of kind of planning what stories and what scandals to come out. And I feel like I'd be good at that. But I don't think I would ever do it, to be honest. I'd also feel bad because I know people probably think what I do is quite heartless, but I feel like when you're a producer, it's like you really have to, you've got to get the show, there's no ifs or buts, you've got to do your job, comes first when it's that. And when I try to kind of put my relationship with the talent first, and I don't think you could do that on set because they've got a show to make.
Yeah, and the EP would overrule everything as well. They'd exactly. be like, you need to burn them.
Yeah, and it'd be savage, and you would have to throw people under and not necessarily lie to them, but you would have to strongly convince them, I guess, to do stuff that's probably not in their best interest a lot of the time. So yeah, it would get a bit murky, I think.
And just back to people sliding into your DMs, obviously Amanda from Married at First Sight, she slid right into your DMs. And for those
wasn't that the gift that kept on giving?
For those who don't know, you obviously shared a post on Instagram about Amanda's decision to set up a GoFundMe page. So she was asking people to donate money so she could move from Melbourne to the Gold Coast. And then, yeah, you copped a rather abusive voice message. What was actually running through your head when that message popped up and you played that audio message?
When I got the message?
Yeah. What was your initial thought?
I was shocked. I was like, oh my God. But it wasn't... when I send it to other people being like, what should I do about this? Like, holy shit. Their first reaction was, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. They're like, you've just been abused. Like, just be careful, you know, don't, like, these people could be dangerous. Like, you never know. Just be careful. I've copped so much worse than that. Like, that was not even bad in terms of the abuse that I've copped in the past. So I thought it was humorous because of the fact that she'd done the video saying, she's basically abusing people for sliding into her DMs, abusing her. And then she'd slid into my DMs, abusing me. So I just found the whole thing super hypocritical. And she actually, a little bit of goss, the reason I wasn't sympathetic towards her saying that when she did the video saying that she'd become homeless or whatever, I wasn't really sympathetic because I'd been sent another voicemail that she'd sent to a friend who I know saying they'd message her saying, oh my God, are you okay? I've just seen that you're homeless. I hope you're fine. Like, let me know if you need anything. And she voiced them back saying, yeah, babe, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm good. Oh, and she was so happy and she was laughing and she's like, no, I just want to move to the Gold Coast. I just want to change. The weather's better up there.
Wow.
Dan Andrews is a CUNT. And she's like, I just want to change. I'm over Melbourne. The fitness business is booming in Queensland. I might meet the love of my life up in Queensland. So it was not once did she mention being homeless again to a friend. So I just don't even know how much of that I believe. Yeah. So that's why I was not hesitating when I was kind of posting all of that stuff, because
I had so much more evidence that I didn't post that I was 100% certain with my conviction on that, that that was not really what was happening. So that's hard. That's another hard thing as well when you're doing these stories and you do have other evidence that is helping you make the decision of what to post, but then the audience doesn't have that and it might come across as like, oh, you know, this seems a bit like targeting or this seems a bit like too far now, but it's when you've got that, I wouldn't post something if I wasn't 100% sure about it. You know what I mean?
And you mentioned on the podcast that you also rang the police inquiries line to make sure that it was, you know, legally okay. I'd love to know how that conversation went down with them. What was their reaction?
Slightly traumatic for me. It was so funny because I wasn't really stressed about the civil element of it. I was just more worried about the criminal element in terms of, am I going to be arrested? Because the chances of like a civil suit over that, it's very minor. But yeah, I was more concerned about the criminal element because you know how it is. It is illegal to record someone, a phone conversation with someone without their permission and to publish it. So I was just a bit concerned about the telecommunications laws, like how far they reach. Does it cover Instagram? Is her voice memo considered a recording since she actually recorded it and sent it to me? So I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to be arrested and locked up in jail that afternoon. And it was funny because the police actually didn't know either. And she was like, I don't really know. And so vague. And I'm like, can you give me an answer? I'm about to go and record and potentially end up in jail. And she didn't really give me an answer. And then I was like, okay, let me ask a lawyer. I asked several lawyers. Everyone was giving me different information. I then called my old boss at Kiss FM and they were like, you can publish the one with you and her, but you can't publish the one that she sent to someone else.
Oh, yeah.
But then someone after that told me that I can. So then I did go and put another voicemail out between her and someone else. So I actually think the laws when it comes to that type of stuff, because the technology is so new and it's such a new terrain for everyone, I actually don't know what the laws are or if the laws know what the laws are.
Yeah, it's such a gray area. It's crazy.
But apparently it is not a crime to play a voice recording that someone has sent you. If anyone else out there wants to go ahead and do that.
But so, it's very useful to know. And we're going to keep that at the back. I'm sorry. The first thing I thought is why would somebody send someone like you who has a podcast a perfect audio grab of them abusing you? That's such a sign. I know. What the hell?
It's just asking for trouble. And I think when I posted that it wasn't a crime to do it and when I posted it, I was like, there's probably a lot of people right now sweating bullets thinking that I'm going to start leaking all these secret voicemails, but I would never do that. Like, I would never ever leak a voicemail. It was more just the fact that this one was just an abusive threat to me. And, you know, I had no prior relationship with Amanda. I didn't owe her anything not to put it out there. And, I mean, you can't go around abusing people.
Yeah.
I'm just doing my job over here. GoFundMe page was public anyway, and it had been on Daily Mail and everywhere. I mean, I did do it first, but
yeah.
Why was I copying an abusive voicemail? I wasn't doing any different to what any of the other publications were doing.
Exactly.
So
that was craziness. I mean, talking about all the legal side of things and the grey areas, you've spoken a little bit in the past and you've joked about your concerns over Channel 10 suing you for releasing so much or for spilling so much
spilling
tea. Yeah. Have you heard how they're feeling about your podcast? I mean, you've obviously got a lot of little sources out there.
Yeah, I haven't received anything from Channel 10. I have in the past, but not since doing the podcast. And yeah. I think because I just, in the past, I'd received quite a few cease and desist letters from various networks and I just kind of ignored them. So maybe they're over, maybe they don't think there's any point.
Yeah, well, they're all losing money at the moment, the big TV station, so they probably don't want to be sending too many out as well.
The thing is, they send you legal letters as a threat. Like they're not actually going to follow through. They think that most people go, oh, shit, I've got a legal letter.
Themselves. Well, they should be sending bloody paychecks to you, as you touched on before. I mean, it's the only reason some people are continuing to watch The Bachelor is so they can keep updated with your podcast.
Yeah, I'm so bored. Are you bored of The Bachelor?
So bored. And so many people have messaged me saying, I'm only watching it so I can keep up with the goss on the podcast. So that's good to know. And you know what the other thing is as well? If you do sue someone, you need to prove damages. And if people are tuning in to the show and the ratings aren't suffering and more people are tuning in saying I'm listening to the show because of the podcast, there's no damages. So they can't actually do anything, I don't think. And I do believe that I am creating interest in the show and explaining things that aren't being shown, like with the Roxy and Juliet fight. A lot of people didn't know what was going on and they were still confused and they're like, I'm turning this off because it's just confusing now, it's just stupid. So my last episode I just explained what was really happening, and now today a lot of people have been messaging me saying, oh, thank God, finally some context, and now I can kind of watch the show because now I know what's going on. So I do think that they
it shouldn't be like a me versus them thing. I think we should be really working together. It's beneficial for both of us that the show does well, you know?
Exactly. Going on, I feel like we're obsessed with talking about people sliding into DMs, but just one last question about it. Are there any interesting people that you have slid into your DMs in recent times that might shock people that you can divulge to us?
I probably won't divulge who, but I have been shocked with the level of celebrity that has slid into my DMs. Oh, actually a fun one that I don't think he'll mind if I say, because it wasn't anything, he wasn't giving me anything super juicy. He was just saying he loved the podcast. Kurt Coleman, who's like my childhood idol.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
Do you know Kurt Coleman? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he slid in. He's like, I love this. This is so funny. I'm going to listen to this forever. So I said that to me and my friend had like a running joke. We used to be obsessed with Kurt Coleman. So I sent that to her saying life made. But it's funny because I've been chatting to a few previous bachelors and bachelorettes since the podcast started, which has been nice. So yeah, that was surprising because I didn't kind of feel like they would be as into the gossip and the drama once they're off the show. But it turns out everyone's very much invested in the show and the drama.
Well, you also mentioned that people were sliding into your DMs asking for photos of your feet and all this random stuff.
Oh my
God. Has that continued?
Oh my God. Actually, funny story. Hot off the press, this one. I was just doing this morning. Well, not doing it. I was chatting to someone this morning about it. The guy that slid into my DMs asking for the money, it's never like really happened to me before. So I was like, is this like a legit thing that you can make money off? Like, sure, you can have a photo of my feet.
Mm.
He then upped the price to $10,000. And I was just saying the whole time, yeah, sure, like I'll talk to you for $10,000. Like put the money in my account now. Thank you. Come again. And then do you know Hannah from Big Brother?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She messaged me this morning saying, hey, is this the guy that slid into your DMs? And she sent me a screenshot and he'd slid into her DMs asking her the same thing and sending her the same receipts that he'd sent me, but obviously just changed the name. And I'm like, how dare he? And I'm like, okay, what are we doing? We're like, we'll just both block him. Yeah. It's obviously a scam. But I was like, because she's obviously new to this as well. So maybe he was just targeting vulnerable people who aren't really, you don't really know how all this works or that it's a thing. So we were just laughing about that before this interview, actually.
That's crazy. So
funny. He must be like a serial DM slide. He's worse than me.
Yeah. I'm a little offended he hasn't slid into our DMs asking for our fate. Yeah. But that's.
Well, if he does, his name's Chris and it's a scam.
Now, you obviously talk a lot about reality TV shows. Now, if we had to hold a gun to your head and you had to choose a reality show that you would go on, which one would it be?
Oh, my God, please don't make me choose. Like, none. Actually, none. Oh, I get asked this so much. I really don't.
What about, like, The Amazing Race? I feel like that sort of.
No, more... I hate sport and I hate running around. No, thank you. I would hate The Jungle because it's. Fuck no.
Yeah, that'd be awful.
I cannot dance to save my life. I would never do Dancing with the Stars.
You'd be good on Gogglebox. I don't know if that's considered a reality show, though. But yeah. You'd be amazing on there.
I would do Gogglebox for sure.
What about if you had to choose between The Bachelor and Married at First Sight?
Bachelor. Yeah, Bachelor for sure.
Okay, cool.
The maths is grueling. Like, maths is hectic. The stuff that... Their filming schedule is insane. Actually, maybe I would do maps because the cocktail or the dinner parties would be so fun.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That would be so much fun just going in there and just like starting dramas with people. And I would actually love that.
And you can just move rooms as well. You can just be like, I hate this person. I need my own space because they seem to just allow them to change rooms constantly.
And I guess like you are basically just sitting around doing nothing. The only bad thing is, if I hated the person, I couldn't be nice to them. I would just, yeah, I couldn't do that. I'd be probably like an Innes or something. What show would you guys do?
We got approached to be on Married at First Sight. Like, we were just sitting
at
a
bar.
Like, the three of us were sitting in a bar, and obviously it was
I always joke that Sophie embellishes stories so much. We were literally, they were out scouting, and they saw us as being triplets. And we're like, hey, would you be on? Like, would you be interested?
Sophie, you can come work for me.
I know, that's a bad thing, having a sister that's with you all the time. They ruin your punchlines. But
we didn't get rung up.
That would be amazing to have triplets on Maps. Yeah, it was, if you're listening.
Unfortunately, our boyfriends might not agree with it, but all the relationships are fake anyway.
You know
what? Would you do it if you weren't in a relationship?
I personally wouldn't. Like, we didn't give her our details because even though we were single at the time when this woman approached us, we just said we weren't interested.
I wouldn't do maths if it was like, you know, with the sister thing with the Bachelorette with Ellie. I would do, if they said, yeah. Do you want triplet? Oh, actually, I don't know. If you were the Bachelorette, I'd say yes because I feel like it's, I don't know. I wouldn't want to just be some like rogue contestant that was fighting for everyone. I'd want to be choosing people.
I also wouldn't want that freak factor. Like, I feel like if the three of us were to go on it, I just hate when people portray triplets and twins as all wearing the same things and being the same person. I hate that shit.
But so with Georgia Love,
have you matching up?
Yeah.
But with Georgia Love, it obviously worked really well for her career and she got her gig at Channel 10 and stuff. So I can see why people do it that are in the media industry.
Definitely. You know, I've actually been approached for Love Island, Bachelor and Married at First Sight.
Wow.
I would love to see you on Love Island. That's my favourite reality show.
Except you'd be amazing. You've got to go on the UK version, not the Australian one. That's shit. Now, we love your take on reality shows. So I didn't really pre-warn you about this, but we wanted to get your take on some influencers. And I'm assuming
I'm being ambushed.
Yeah, that's right. I'm hoping you know who these influencers are.
Well, this will be a bit of a speed round. So
yeah.
Influencers? I don't really know, but yeah, try me.
Okay. So thoughts on Sammy Robinson launching a clothing line?
Who?
Okay.
No, I'm not being bitchy like who. I don't follow. Oh my God, you're going to make me sound like a bitch. I don't follow influencers.
That's
all good. You know what's bad? Like, I follow reality TV so much and there's so many contestants. I physically cannot also follow influencers or like political figures or, you know, I can't do everything.
That's your response. That's a perfect response.
Oh my God. Don't sound bad and like, no. Sound like a total bitch. Sammy Robinson, who?
What about,
probably got like 6 million followers as well. She'll be like, who is this nobody?
She looks like Gigi Hadid. She's like stunning. Anyway,
she's not that controversial. She's probably not that interesting.
I only follow controversial people.
Well, what about, we've spoken about it recently on our podcast. We had a bit of a run-in with an influencer, Madison Woolley, regarding her decision to travel during COVID. What's your take on that issue? We're being a bit biased.
I listened to your episode and the whole time I loved the tea because I loved that you had the receipts and that you were going like you were so savage to her. I loved it. I was living for it. Me and my gay friend were messaging. He told me about it actually. He's like, oh my God, you have to listen to the Outspoken Girls. They're bringing the receipts. And I went and listened and I was living for it, but I had no idea who you were talking about. Is she a big name? I have no idea.
She's kind of your middle of the road influencer.
What about Abby Chatfield's decision to close her Facebook group? Well, sorry, not close her Facebook group, but only post episode threads.
This is a controversial topic for me. Honestly, let me be candid here. I was attacked in that group a couple of weeks ago, so I think it's a good decision. Personally, I think it was getting way too out of hand and it was not a safe space for anyone in that group. Like, people were being unnecessarily targeted and bullied and piled on, and I'm not for that. Like, I am for creating a safe space and yes, holding people accountable, but when it becomes personal, I feel like you're just crossing that line of attack. Like, people were attacking my looks, my ethnicity, and that's not, I just didn't think it had anything to do with the original thing of what I was getting piled on, and it just wasn't a safe space. I'm actually glad that that's been shut down or paused or whatever's happening. I feel like those groups, if there's such a large number of people in them, they do need to be carefully moderated, especially when it's like with my group. I'm really clear about the rules of the group, and I said we're just sticking to the gossip. It's lighthearted, it's fun, it's not to get personal with each other, it's not to have these big debates. Like, this isn't the place, you know, like just keep it strictly to the gossip and keep it fun. You know, we've got enough, life's hard enough. We don't need to be also attacking each other in groups because we've got a different opinion to someone.
Yeah.
So that's the MO of my group, just to keep it fun and lighthearted. But I'm very active in my group in terms of I respond to people. I'm very involved in the conversations and I interact with everyone a lot. I mean, it probably will get harder to do as the group gets bigger, but I think that's the problem with Abby's. It got too big and she kind of couldn't physically reply to everyone and be involved in the conversation. So it kind of just took on this life of its own. And it's sad because it started off as a really constructive group and a safe space for those girls to have, you know, those types of conversations. But
yeah, I don't know. It just got a bit toxic in there.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Like even conversations that I'd stumbled across about our own podcast were very toxic in nature and quite personal. So yeah, it's not nice when you come across that sort of stuff about yourself and there's no moderation happening.
No, but good on Abby for actually going, I'm going to pull the pin on this. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think the Shameless group went on for far too long and we discussed that in our episode yesterday. But yeah, thank you so much. I won't ask you about the other influencers because they're even more obscure than Sammy Robinson, oh God, but I loved that.
I want to see if I can get like one right. I want to see if I know any of them. Is that like a reality one?
You'd know Reese Hawkins, wouldn't you? Tammy Hembrose.
Yeah.
So they've just announced that he and his new partner, London, are expecting a baby. But what she's done is London's gone and put a link up, like a swipe up link so you can look at, I don't know, the ultrasound, but it's to an OnlyFans account. So you have to pay to see.
Stop it.
Yeah. So I was going to ask your take on that.
Someone tagged me in a post today. Were they charging an outrageous amount?
I'm actually not sure because Kate, who's not here, messaged about it. Sorry.
Someone tagged me in something and they were writing this big thing about influencers charging for pictures or something. And they were like, happy to pay a dollar, but not happy to pay whatever the amount was. And I didn't repost it or I kind of ignored it because I didn't understand what it was. So I'll have to go and revisit that. That's interesting.
Mm.
I mean, make that money, girl. But who wants to see it? Who wants to see an ultrasound? They all look the same anyway. I know. Just go on Google Images.
Just show your feet or whatever. Like that's what people are apparently after.
Gosh, I thought people only wanted like titty pics and bum pics these days on OnlyFans.
Can you imagine that child hearing that they were put on an OnlyFans account when they're older? Like, God.
Isn't it a porn site, basically?
That's what I thought, but apparently people do share other content. I thought that was just like a ruse to be like, oh yeah, I'm just sharing the other content, but apparently not.
Oh my God, but an ultrasound, that just sounds a bit off-brand for OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
The creators are probably like, hon, this is not what, this, you're not in the right place. This is not what we created this for.
Oh.
That's so funny.
Well, thank you for joining in that little influencer rap. Well, just before you go, one last question. Once The Bachelor is over, what can listeners expect from the So Dramatic podcast?
Oh, good question. Honestly, don't know. Still just trying to get through this week. No, I have been thinking about it. So it'll be after The Bachelor, it'll be Bachelorette, obviously. And the last few weeks, I haven't had any guests on, which I think people might be like, why is there no guests? But the reason I haven't had guests is because I've had too much gossip of my own to get through that I haven't had time to also then have a guest on, and I didn't want it to take away. You know, at the start of the season, there's a lot happening. There's a lot of stories. So I'm just trying to get those out first and foremost. And as the season goes on, I will maybe in a week or two start having guests on again. So I do have a lot of people lined up in the bag that are keen to come on. So I was thinking if I don't get to them whilst the show's airing, I'll do them in the off season. So once Bachelorette's over, I don't think there's anything else on TV after The Bachelorette. So I'll probably do a weekly, I'll still get gossip, not as much. I'll do a bit of goss here and there and then have a guest on from a previous season, basically. So that will be fun. And then I might do some fun, I don't know, I'll do some fun things in there, like Q&As and stuff like that. If people have any specific questions that they want answered, I'll do, yeah. Because I feel like I did a Q&A episode once and it actually went really well. It was the first one I did by myself and I was really scared. I'm like, no one's gonna listen if it's just me. They're only coming here for the talent. But it was really well received. So people kind of seem to be interested in hearing what happens behind the scenes. So I might do more of that.
That'd be amazing.
We'll see what happens.
Well, we can't wait. Thank you so much again for joining us. We've loved having
Thanks
you on
for
the
having
show.
Me.
Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks. And love your podcast. Big fan. Thank you for all the mentions. Thank you for being super spreaders.